The epistle for this Septuagesima Sunday is taken from St. Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. Brethren, do you not know that they who run in a race all indeed run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain. And everyone that strives for the mastery refrains himself from all things, and they indeed that they may receive a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible one. I therefore so run, not as at an uncertainty. I so fight, not as one beating the air, but I chastise my body and bring it into subjection, lest perhaps when I have preached to others, I myself should become a castaway. For I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that our fathers were all under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized in Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink, and they drank of the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. But with the most of them, God was not well pleased. Please stand for the gospel. The gospel is taken from the 20th chapter of the Gospel of St. Matthew. At that time, Jesus spoke to his disciples this parable. The kingdom of heaven is like to a householder who went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And having agreed with his laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And going out about the third hour, he saw others standing in the marketplace idle. And he said to them, "Go you also into my vineyard, and I will give you what shall be just." And they went their way. And again he went out about the sixth and the ninth hour, and did in like manner. But about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing. And he says to them, "Why do you stand here all the day idle?" They said to him, "Because no man has hired us." He says to them, "Go you also into my vineyard." And when evening was come, the Lord of the vineyard says to his steward, "Call the laborers and pay them their hire, beginning from the last even to the first." When therefore they were come that came about the 11th hour, they received every man a denarius. When the first also come, they thought that they should receive more. And they also received every man a denarius. And receiving it, they murmured against the master of the house, saying, "These last have worked but 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us that have borne the burden of the day and the heat." But he answering said to one of them, "Friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst thou not agree with me for a denarius? Take what is thine and go thy way. I will also give to this last, even as to thee. Or is it not lawful for me to do what I will? Is thy eye evil because I am good? So shall the last be first, and the first last. For many are called, but few are chosen." Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. My dear faithful, if someone wants to become a professional athlete, he has to train day in, day out for years until he or she is able to make it to the pros. And anyone who wants to make it big in business has to work 70 or 80 hours a week for a long time before they're able to become a millionaire. Or someone who wants to become a concert pianist has to practice the scales thousands upon thousands of times until they gain a sufficient facility so that they can play those pieces professionally in a concert. In each of these cases, there's some great good that the person is seeking by all their effort, making millions of dollars or being a professional athlete or being a professional musician. And in each of these cases as well, there's something that has to happen for that great good to be attained. They have to work very hard. And they have to work for a long time. And whenever we come together on Sundays and we attend Mass, the reason we're doing so is there is a great good that we want, that we seek. We seek the salvation, the eternal salvation of our own souls. And that's a much greater good than being a professional athlete or making millions of dollars. It's a greater good than any good whatsoever, because it's an infinite good. It's the very meaning of our existence. There is no greater good to be pursued than the salvation of your soul. And that's why we should not be surprised that the attainment of that supreme good demands the same sort of thing as the attainment of lots of money or the attainment of professional status. You have to work. You have to work hard. You have to work over a long period of time in order to save your soul. There's no other way to attain that great good. Everyone who wants to save his soul has to enter into the vineyard and labor. Otherwise, he will not receive the denarius at the end of his life. Everyone who wants that crown that will not rust at any time, that will not rust at the end of his life, a crown that will never be taken off his head, is going to have to put forth a lot of effort in order to get that prize. What kind of work do you have to do in order to get this incredible crown, this unique crown? Well, says St. Paul, you have to strive for something called self-mastery. It's a state of your soul where you have a certain complete control over yourself in all situations, such that no matter what the conditions that you find yourself in your life, you're always able to direct yourself to the good. Without being swayed in any way whatsoever from any influences that might be around you. How do you perform this work? If that's what is involved, the work is the work of self-mastery. Well, how do you go about doing this work? It's done by chastising your body and bringing it into subjection. It's done by refraining from all things that would keep you from your goal. This is the program that St. Paul sets for himself and proposes to us. And it's so important that we do not just commit ourselves to the goal of saving our souls. We also have to commit ourselves to the work necessary to get there. Otherwise, it's not going to happen. There's certainly no guarantee that because you're sitting here in these pews today, that you're going to save your soul. I mean, would that every single person who is here makes it to heaven. I desire that very much, but it's just not going to happen if you don't take the means necessary to attain that goal. There's no way it's going to happen. It's not going to happen if you have a habit of mortal sin. God grant that the one who's preaching to you today makes it to heaven when he dies. But there's no way that I'm going to make it to heaven unless I mortify myself and I bring my body into subjection. If St. Paul in today's epistle is worried about his own salvation and he's saying to himself, I need to chastise my body because if I don't, I will lose my soul. And that's certainly true for Paul Robinson. We have to commit ourselves to the work necessary to save our souls, or we will not save our souls. That's the bottom line. And we have to be aware that this work is more difficult in the 21st century than it has been in the past, because there's so many things that surround us that are tempt us to not put forth the effort necessary. St. Paul wants to remind the Corinthians today that their salvation is not guaranteed. And he takes an example from the Old Testament. He takes an example of people who are in a very privileged status and yet were not doing so great. They weren't doing so hot in saving their souls, these Israelites in the desert. It might have seemed, it should have seemed very easy for them to save their souls. They had God with them night and day. He appeared as a pillar of fire during the night, and during the day as a cloud, and it would be always, his presence was always before them. They saw those great miracles of the parting of the Red Sea and many other miracles in the desert. They had this holy man, Moses, with them to teach them and guide them. Yet, says St. Paul, with most of them, God was not well pleased. And you, my dear faithful, I mean, you have God with you day and night in the tabernacle here. You are able to approach the communion rail. You're able to receive God himself physically into your souls. You're able to have him wash away your sins in the sacrament of confession. And in that sense, you're even more privileged than the Israelites in the desert. But at the same time, as I say, you're faced with much more serious temptations than the occasions of sin that the Israelites faced. They were tempted by false gods. They would approve of the sins of the flesh that they fell into in the desert. You are tempted by the idols of a secularized world, which glorifies sin to a degree which was unimaginable to people of past times. You're especially presented with so many means to indulge your sensuality, to gratify your flesh. And I'm not just talking about sins of impurity. That's certainly much more available today than it was in times past. But I'm talking about the sensuality of self-indulgence, the sensuality of entertainment, the sensuality of comfort and convenience that is so much a part of our modern way of living. I mean, you just think about it. All the means that are available for us to indulge ourselves today. I mean, you could buy a practically unlimited supply of chocolate and have it available at all times for you to eat whenever you like. You can buy yourselves comfortable pillows, fancy blankets, special mattresses to make your sleep as delectable as possible. You can search online for the most relaxing clothing to wear, the most relaxing furniture to sit in. You can find the right drugs and pharmaceuticals to drive away pain, whenever you have a headache or a stomach ache or an ache in your bones. You can entertain yourselves forever with your devices, watching movie after movie for free online, or buying yourself video game after video game, or listening to literally any song that you fancy you would like to listen to at any time you want. Whenever you don't feel like dealing with any difficulty whatsoever in your life, the modern world makes available for you millions of distractions, millions of things to soothe yourself and comfort yourself. This is our modern mode of living. The ways to avoid dealing with difficulty today are infinite and they're easily available. Sometimes they're occasions of sin. Sometimes they're just merely occasions for you avoiding doing your duty of state. Either way, they're all pointing away from that most important work of your life, and that is the work of gaining self-mastery, the work of saving your soul. And there's a rule that to the degree that occasions of sin are more intense, they're more prominent, they're more omnipresent, you have to have a greater virtue in order to resist them. And that is just simply, my dear faithful, that's just simply the situation we find ourselves in today. People who want to save their souls today have to be more virtuous than people of the past if they're going to make it, because they're surrounded by more intense and more frequent occasions of sin than people in past times. The path to salvation got narrower when the path to ease and comfort and entertainment got broader. It meant that fewer people would be able to resist and take the effort necessary to be virtuous. It meant that fewer people would be able and willing to take the path of mortification. And this generation has become exceedingly soft. We all, to some extent, have become snowflakes in relation to the people who have gone before us in the past. And that's why it's so important for us to embrace and live that most important teaching of our faith, that St. Paul presents to us today, that we must strive for mastery over our own flesh. We have to bring it into subjection, lest we ourselves lose our souls in spite of all of our attendance at Mass and all of our Catholic practices. I think we firstly have to chastise our eyes by gaining mastery over our entertainment. We must not have this situation where we watch videos whenever and wherever. We must not use every possible free moment for leisure time, just filling every gap of time with the watching of videos. And as we're preparing for Lent in this Septuagesimatide, we can perhaps think about how good it would be for us to not watch any videos at all during the whole of Lent. How refreshing it would be for our soul to be relieved of this constant influx of video watching. We have to chastise our sense of taste by keeping careful watch over our intake of food and drink. We must not just eat and drink whenever we have the inclination to do so. Rather, it's important that we have set times. We know when we're going to eat and drink in a given day. We must not eat and drink whatever we want, always seeking out our favorite foods and our special drinks, but rather eat and drink whatever is available to us. We should chastise our sense of hearing by not compulsively listening to songs and podcasts. Just as some people just fill all of their free time with videos, others fill all of their free time with listening to news and podcasts and songs. They have their earbuds in their ears 24/7, using every available moment to give delectation to their ears. It's good for us to adjust ourselves to the sound of silence, to be willing to have some silence in our lives. Last year for Lent, I'll admit openly that I took the resolution that between here and the prior, I just would not listen to the radio. And I found it difficult. It's just difficult. I mean, after a while, it became easy. But at first, it was difficult not to turn on the radio. We have to chastise our sense of touch as well. And I think there's three ways in which we can do this. First, in regards to our sleep, we must not have the habit of overextending our sleep time. Just like with the food and drink, where we must decide the times when we eat and drink, not just sort of be grazing throughout the day. So too with our sleep. We must have the sleep that we take under the control of our reason and not hitting the snooze button over and over after we wake up. We need to go to sleep when we're supposed to go to sleep, and we need to wake up when we're supposed to wake up, not end up prolonging the time before we go to sleep, end up staying up late, and then as a result, waking up late in the morning. The second thing regards our comfort, we must not be among those people who always avoid formal clothing because we find it uncomfortable, who just want to wear casual wear 24/7. We cannot be allergic to dress shoes and dress pants and dresses because they're a bit more uncomfortable than comfort wear. We have to be able to dress up when we need to, even though it may not be as comfortable as dressing down is. And then lastly, with regards to the pain that we suffer in this life because of infirmities of the body, as you know, it's completely impossible to totally avoid pain in this life. And I think it's good for us to sometimes bear with it, with patience. If we have a mild headache or a mild stomach ache, just bear with it without seeking some sort of immediate relief. We should not tell all and sundry about whatever physical difficulties we are suffering, to try to bear our sufferings in silence, and when it's prudent, even to bear those sufferings without seeking relief for them. So, my dear faithful, I mean, these are some ways in which we can strive for self-mastery. during the period of Lent in which we can chastise our flesh and bring it to subjection. There's just a few ideas. I'm not expecting for people to do all of these things, but to perhaps, according to your own person, your own inclinations, find those things in which perhaps you're overindulging yourself. You're giving too much to the flesh, and therefore you're weakening your ability to strive for the prize, strive for the good. That prize must be the most precious thing that you seek for in this life, that prize of heaven. But it's also, I think, good for us to be aware that in seeking for that prize, in chastising our flesh, we also gain a great fulfillment in this life. Living a disciplined and ordered life is its own reward, even in this life, because it is a life that is full of accomplishments. And that's certainly better than a life full of wasted time. That's the life that St. Paul is calling you to today. That life without the slavery to impurity, the slavery to drink, the slavery to food, the slavery to entertainment, to comfort, to convenience, or any other thing that will distract you from the pursuit of the good. Try to answer his call this Lent by forming some good resolutions today about things that you might do to have a really good Lent. Have as your goal, above all, based on your knowledge of your own self, that subduing of your flesh that makes for spiritual freedom. The fact is that unless you do these things, unless I do these things, we will become castaways. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.